Hey, Sinister Squad. This episode was recorded live, so the audio may not be superb, but we wanted to add that extra element of raw, since mediumship and psychic abilities come into question frequently in the paranormal world, and we also wanted to showcase Danielle's extraordinary abilities. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Studio Sinister. I'm your host, Farah, and alongside me is my best friend and partner in all things eerie.
I'm Courtney.
And we are your guides through the twisted paths of the strange, the unexplained, and the downright sinister. Girl, how you doing?
I am good. I had a bit of technical difficulties coming in here, but I'm better now. Glad that we can do this.
I'm so glad that we can be podcasters. It's just full of awesomeness. But anyway, want to tell a quick story. You know about this, Courtney. So the other day, Jake and I, about a week or so ago, we had heard our first audible disembodied voice in our home. And knowing me and how much I love the paranormal, I didn't act the way I thought I would, but...
Yeah. You've ever heard one at all?
Let me clarify. Jake and I heard our first audible disembodied sentence. And yes, when we first moved in here in September of 2023, the day that we were moving in, I heard my name called from the area, which is now my studio. But this, we heard a sentence. We couldn't hear anyone else, but it just sounded like a person conversating.
Oh, yeah. Mumbly.
Exactly. Jake and I, we were just sitting in bed, snacking, watching the TV. The TV was on low, by the way, but you could feel the vibration from my office when this person said this sentence. You could hear the echo as well from it in my office. It was crazy.
And it's in your own home. It's one thing to go to a location and kind of psych yourself up to experience the paranormal. And I know you live in a haunted house, obviously, but to be taken off guard like that and to hear something so unexpected, it's terrifying. Like, not that this happens all the time in my house, but every once in a while, stuff catches me off guard. And it's that much more panic-inducing because I live here. It's not like I can leave and go sleep somewhere else. This is just it. So, yeah, wow. You texted me that while I was in Spain and I like dropped everything. I'm like, what's happening? Tell me more.
Yes. And how was your trip to Spain? Tell our listeners a quick rundown of it. Oh, and the fact that Kate Batts might have followed your ass.
Okay. I don't want to say that that's what happened, but listeners, just to give you a bit of an update on my life, maybe a bit of a TMI. I went to Spain to celebrate a friend's 30th birthday. We also went to Boston and Salem and had an amazing time. We got to go see a bunch of haunted locations in Salem, and I'll be talking about that on my show in a couple weeks. And obviously, I'd like to talk about it here at length once that episode comes out. But for the majority of the trip, it was really awesome, very beautiful. Two of my closest friends got engaged, so that was really exciting. But on the way back, we got a really bad stomach bug, and I was texting Farah saying, I haven't been this sick since my husband and I, Todd and I, came out to Montana for the first time and we were staying in Billings. And her and I were joking around, oh, Kate Batts followed you. She must be making you sick again. So obviously, is that what happened? Probably not. I probably just got sick. But man, that was the worst I've ever been. I don't want to say ever, but been sick since that point. Yeah, it was a good trip, but it ended on a crappy note, to be honest. But
for those of you who've tuned in to our Bellwitch episodes, the one we did together, and then Courtney has one on haunts. Let me be clear, if you don't know by now, I'm not one to believe in coincidences. But Courtney, is this the first vacation type trip that you've made since you went to the Bell Cave a few years ago?
Let me see. Maybe. We obviously took our honeymoon, but that was like a year ago, a little over a year ago. And small trips here and there. But yeah, this is the first big trip that I've been on probably since our honeymoon, I'd say.
And other people got sick on your trip as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, stomach bugs are going to be like that. But yeah, it was pretty instant. Like, my friend got sick. I got sick 1 hour after her, and then Todd, and then her fiance. And it was like rapid fire with over the course of like maybe 3 or 4 hours.
See, I just think it's strange that your first long trip abroad coincided with all of these weird events. It's as if the trip was a catalyst. Because I want to know, had you not gone to Spain, would everyone had still fallen ill? It's not about placing blame, of course. I'm not doing that. It's just curious timing to me.
Yeah, like, that's a good question to ask. And the other thing, too, I want to say that we talked about it in the last episode, but I was recently chatting with John over on Dairyland Frights, and he was saying a lot of his guests were getting that same sort of, like, those symptoms out of nowhere. And again, it could just be a regular stomach bug. But yeah, I wasn't thinking about the fact that a lot of people have had paranormal experiences coincide with symptoms like this. And it literally happened the same day that you were experiencing the, like, audible phenomenon in your house. It was like within that same 24-hour period. I didn't make that connection until just now. Again, we might be connecting things that aren't actually connected. You know me and my skepticism, but that is interesting. I will give you that.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's just something worth considering. But listeners, we have an exciting show for you tonight. Before we dive in, I'm curious, Courtney, what are your thoughts on mediumship? Do you believe in psychic abilities or clairvoyance? What's your gut feeling about it?
So, you know, Todd, experiences, just, I've talked to you about them at length, and I've mentioned them on Haunts, and I feel like we've touched on them here, but I don't know if he's a medium. I think he is. I always say that he's gifted in some sort of way, and that he's open to that more so than I am. So I am a full believer in it. I think that there are just some people who are gifted and more, I don't want to say more open, but they have the ability to pull back that veil. It's something that I wish I could do. I can't. It's like the bane of my existence, to be completely honest. But yeah, I'm a full believer in it. It just depends on who it is that's doing the mediumship. I always like to look into that and talk to them and learn more about how they approach their skills. So I'm excited for tonight's guest just to be able to do that.
We're thrilled to introduce a truly extraordinary guest today. Her name is Danielle Taverna, a renowned medium known for her psychic abilities and deep spiritual connection. Danielle isn't just about conveying messages from the beyond. She's dedicated to helping others forge a bond with their loved ones who've passed on and to discover more about their own life's path. I've been eagerly wanting to share her insights with you all for months. Even before our transition to Studio Sinister, my fascination with mediumship, coupled with my conviction in Danielle's authenticity, convinced me she was the right person to bring on our show. Unlike others who may exploit these abilities, Danielle uses hers to genuinely assist others, making her a beacon of hope for many. It's never easy dealing with loss. And in those moments, finding someone who can bridge the gap between this world and the next becomes invaluable. Danielle has been that bridge for so many, and I believe she can be that for others too. With my father, who had passed about 2 years ago, I wasn't able to spend those last moments with him, as my mother and I are estranged, and she kind of kept us away from each other. That's what she's good at. I've been wanting that connection with him since he's passed. I just miss him. But it's not about me today. Sorry. It's about Danielle. I want to help people understand mediums more so maybe they can find a medium, maybe even Danielle. If they want to find something that they're searching for. When we come back, we'll introduce you to Danielle. Spirited Conversations with Danielle Taverna starts now.
Nationwide crime is dominating the headlines here in America. I just shot and killed my son Max and my wife Michelle.
We are attempting to stay 1 week at the official gathering house. Yes.
Poverty, drugs, child abuse.
There's someone standing right there. You're gonna get back to hell where you came from.
Studio Sinister.
All right, welcome back, Sinister Seekers. It's a pleasure to welcome Danielle Taverna, a New York City-born psychic, medium, and astrologer, discovering her psychic abilities at 9 through prophetic dreams. Danielle later enhanced her gifts with holistic wellness and meditation under expert mentorship. She made her abilities public in 2019, creating Readings by Danielle, aiming to uplift humanity through love, healing, peace, and authenticity. Join me, Courtney, in welcoming the extraordinary Danielle. And thank you for joining us, Danielle.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me on here. This is really cool and really a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here.
We are both so thankful that you've given us some of your time, Danielle. I know you and I have been trying to connect forever, and we're finally doing it. Let's get right into it. First off, I'd love for our listeners to get to know the person behind the persona. Before you were 9 and those vivid dreams began, Danielle, could you share with us what kind of child were you? Sensitive, inquisitive? Let's dive into your world before the onset of your readings by Danielle.
I would say grew up in a rather unique, niche place in New York City. I grew up in the Bronx, which is arguably one of the most infamous boroughs in New York. And it's not exactly a very relaxed environment, we'll call it that. So I feel like I always was in a space of being on high alert, even from childhood. But I was always very distracted at the same time. So I remember being a kid and being like exposed to a lot of the real world realities very young, but also at the same time, just like almost in a way, you're just like, okay, you go into, I don't want to say survival mode, but in some ways you're like, okay, life is hard. This is what you got to do. Got to keep moving forward. And I think before I started having psychic dreams, because you're always in a state of, and I think this is anybody who comes from New York in general, you're always, especially in the 80s and 90s, you're always in a state of being alert and aware and needing to be aware of your surroundings. So my only time when I really could get messages was in sleep. Really, truly, I think that's how it starts for most people, their sleep.
And were there anyone in your family that were more sensitive like yourself?
I have been told by other readers that this ability has actually come from somewhere up my mother's family line. My mom is a very intuitive person. Like, she gets intuitive hits, but she's also very skeptical of them. Even if they're correct, she's very skeptical. So I've been told that it was like her grandmother that actually had this ability full blown, but was never spoken about because it was so frowned upon at that time.
I guess it makes sense because it would have been such a different time, but I think that's one. Like,
I'm wondering if she was part of the spiritual movement back in the day.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the same?
My grandparents came from Italy in the 40s. Oh, okay. So their parents would have been in Italy as far back as the turn of the century, between the 18 and 1900. So when that spiritualist movement was probably happening over here, they were in the mountains.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
I wish I was there too. But I think it's interesting too. My husband, I was saying this in the intro, that he has those intuitive hits, like you're saying. And it comes, we think, he's very skeptical as well, from his mom's side. Have you noticed that that's like kind of, I don't want to say like typical, but is that something that you've noticed is happening a lot with people with your gifts?
I would say, and this kind of falls back into like my astrology background, paths that we come in, the frequency we come in with, we come in with an imprint. And I do believe that ancestral imprints, and this can be seen in astrological placements, do get passed down. But they will, in some cases, skip a generation if the people in between are not meant live.
Cut that a little bit. That makes sense to me. Just with the way that it would, you know, because we travel, they say, in like those like karmic kind of families.
Yes.
So I feel that totally makes sense to me. I was just curious if that's like something you've seen in your line of work or if it's just random.
No, it's definitely something that we could see that travels in families. I think also, too, we travel in soul groups. So whenever you meet somebody and you're like, I feel like I've known this person before, or you meet somebody and they seem familiar to you, but there's no way you could have known them. That was definitely a karmic person that you had a contract with coming here to meet again.
Courtney, are you thinking the same thing that I'm thinking?
You and I, from day one, were best friends from our first interaction.
And we haven't met in person, but we are planning to. So that's the awesome thing. But I feel like I can talk to Courtney about anything. I feel she really understands me.
What she is saying is more of, we connected by happenstances.
And that makes me feel like our friendship is something that we're going to cherish forever, because you don't get these feelings with just anyone. But Danielle, tell us about your first experience that made you want to educate and nurse your abilities more.
I will say, from the first experiences as a kid to probably it was somewhere between 9 and the age of 25, I kept having these dreams, But I thought that this was something that everybody had. I thought people had dreams multiple times a week about this or that. I really didn't think anything of it. And whenever I had spoken to family about it, it was like, oh, yeah, that happens to everybody. I don't know. They were trying to, you know, I don't know what they were trying to tell me with that response. But yeah, but it was always just, yeah, okay, whatever. Probably around the age of 20, and I'm 38 now. That's when I started to have, it was almost like outer ear stuff, like disembodied stuff. And that's when it got really real. And I was like, okay, this is not just coincidental that I'm having these dreams about the future and having these dreams about things that are going to happen or hearing from past or deceased loved ones. Because once somebody's passed away, just because you have a dream about them doesn't necessarily mean that's actually them, even if what they're telling you is correct. It could just be a coincidence. But I think once I started to hit around 26 and I started to go like more into the holistic health world, because I had like a bunch of health stuff going on, that is where it jumped the course big time from literally night to day.
Were you scared of it at first?
Oh, without a doubt. I felt like I knew that I wasn't crazy because I just knew at the core of me, like, this is really happening. But it was very frightening because I was just like, oh my God, this is real. So if there was ever a shred of me being a skeptic, there is none of that now. And I remember the first experience that I had that literally was like I could hear pretty much how I'm hearing you guys right now, was I was sleeping in my bed and somebody kissed me on the cheek and it was loud and I felt it and I heard it and it woke me up. And I was like, that was not a dream. Like, I am the lightest sleeper ever. So I knew it was my grandmother. I just knew it. And I didn't know how I knew that. And then from there, it just materialized further to another thing. And then, because I know Farrah's been seeing some of my postings over the last year, back in 2015, when I was like 28, turning 29, I lived in a haunted brownstone along the Hudson River in Hoboken, New Jersey, that was built upon an old cemetery.
Oh my gosh.
But we didn't know that. And that was when it jumped into literally every other day I was hearing from somebody new.
I'm sure that was wild, being a medium and living in a haunted house by happenstance.
You know what? I think what it was is that they, I guess we could call them the spirit world, they know, because we all come in with like certain levels of being open. And I think that they're opportunistic where they're like, oh, this person can hear us. We're going to keep doing everything we can. We're going to take out a 6-piece band until they acknowledge us. And that's primarily how it went. Because the more I ignored it, the louder they got. And it was always somebody new because so many people had lived in that building. It was the Knights of Columbus at one point. It was condos. It was one whole house. It was, and then on top of it, it has a cemetery next to it that they had grown a garden over. It was, and wherever there's remains, there's a haunting. That's a hill I'm willing to die on.
Oh, you are so lucky. I would have given anything to live in that brownstone.
It was, you know what? At first, it was like, wow, this is really happening. And then over time, I did become scared because there had been occasions where somebody would grab my arm or they would shake the bed to get my attention. And it had gotten to a point where I think, because I had been there for 4 years, by the year 2019, when we moved out, I was pregnant with my daughter. I was ready to go. I'm like, okay. I can't live in a place that has, when we moved out and moved to our house now, which is in a suburban area, it's only been owned by two different people, two different families. It's a world of a difference than being in a place where literally thousands of people traversed it.
And am I safe to assume that it's mentally and almost physically exhausting to expel that sort of energy and communicating with the dead in that way?
I do notice that if I do reading after reading after reading, it does wear you down after a while. I feel like when you're not getting good sleep and they're interrupting your sleep, yeah, that without a doubt, because it's almost like when you're falling into those places where you are able to hear them, you're like in that in-between space where you're not asleep, but you're not fully awake either. So you're not rested. And it's almost, I would say, a step above meditative. And that's where most of the activity happens. That's the part of the brain that we go to when we do the readings.
Wow.
So if you keep accessing that, you're not really in rest mode.
You're not going through those REM cycles for sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, how do you prepare for a reading, Danielle?
A lot of walking meditation. Like I actually will put my headphones in and I'll listen to like binaural beats with theta or alpha waves to just like zone out the rest of what's going on in my life. Sometimes I actually will lay down and meditate, but I try to like de-stress as much as possible because sleep and stress definitely affect how clear you are because your own life stuff can totally distract you from spirit. It's really when you have a lot of quiet and a lot of you're in like a zen space is when it's just, forgive me for saying this, balls to the wall, because they'll just start coming at anywhere. Oh, you're good. You're quiet. You can hear us. Let's do that.
I love it. It's like a party at Danielle's house. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. Pretty much you have to clear yourself of everything that you're thinking and feeling to be able to not have that fog that can interfere with a reading for someone else.
Yeah, because then I do feel that, I feel like once you start to go into this and you're doing it regularly, you can pretty much tap in and tap out at any point. But the clarity level is so much better when you're not clouded with your own stuff or like physically exhausted or dealing with like major stuff going on in your life. It's just, I guess, any other job, really.
One crucial insight that I'd like to share with our audience, especially coming from your unique perspective as a psychic advisor, is this. What's the most common misunderstanding people have about this field?
I would say the biggest misconception is that spirit is going to give you any answer you want, meaning like lotto numbers, when you're going to die, if this person is your soulmate. Life is not linear. And we're meant here to learn lessons and move through certain things. And if they gave us every single answer to every single question, we're not learning anything.
Wouldn't be like.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point? It really is. So I think it's more of people come in thinking that I'm going to perform for them. And this isn't like a mentalist show. It's to help people gain closure, get guidance, maybe get some acceptance around whatever it is that they're going through, and then give them some insights about different pathways and potentials that are open to them as well as conversing with their loved ones in spirit.
Your passion and dedication, Danielle, shine through in every word. It's truly inspirational to see the impact that you were making with your unique gift. So, speaking of impact, could you share the most memorable reading that you've had?
Oh my gosh. There has been a lot of really interesting readings, but I would have to say, where do I go? There's been so many locations, so many different people. I would say taking it out of the interpersonal readings that I've done with people, just to keep their stories anonymous, I would have to say the most active place that I've ever done, I guess you could say like a mediumship reading, but being with a group and talking about what I see and feel here, was probably recently in Charlottesville, Virginia. I was actually on a ghost tour. The girl was like, she was taking us through the tour and it just came out. I was like, oh yeah, this was the courtyard. And she was like, okay, that was on page 2. She's, wait a minute, how the hell did you know that was the courtyard? And then I got into it a little bit with her about, oh, this is what I do, whatever. So as we continued on with the tour, before she kept turning her page, she's like, where are we right now? I was like, this was the battlefield for whatever, or like these little pieces. And she was like, oh my God, this is too funny. So that part of it's cool. That's the part of the job that I really do enjoy, is I really love travel and I love history. And I love combining the two and really seeing the imprints of what was there.
I wish I had that ability. Courtney knows this about me. She's the same way. We think that we've been together in a different way, in a different realm at one time. But I would give anything to be able to pop in and see like the 1700s or the 1800s, you know, just to actually see history.
I also don't think, and this, Danielle, you probably also agree with this, or at least it sounds like it, but I think a lot of it, when we talk about the paranormal and investigate it, we're trying to look back through history and see what life was like then, and those kind of look for those remnants and what is still remaining to this day. So the fact that you were saying like, oh, I was on a ghost tour and had these experiences, I just think that's so cool, because that's literally what I would love to do every day of my life, and you're living it.
I wish I could do it every day of my life. It would be great. If I had endless resources, I would literally pack up my family and we would do this every day.
I was going to ask if that place had offered you a job before you left.
You know what? The girl was like, if you're definitely coming back down to Charlottesville, and we have family there, so we will go back. She's, please link up with me. She's, because I really want you to like host the tour with me. And I was like, I am not going to host the tour here. I don't want to be taken over this. And also too, some people are a little scared by this stuff too. I go into it with a reserved view, like how we were just talking about some of the people like on the shows, like they'll just go up to anybody. I'm more reserved with it in the public setting because you just don't know how certain people are going to receive this, especially given where you are, especially given people's faiths and beliefs. And I try to be respectful of that because you don't want to scare anyone either. Really, it's science. Energy cannot be created right, or destroyed, but not everybody sees it that way.
Exactly. And do you mind me asking, have you ever been just out and about in your everyday life and have someone else's departed loved one come up to you and say, hey, that's my daughter over there, can you go talk to her for me? Or does it not work that way?
If I was tuned in, if I actually allowed myself to clear my mind, which doesn't happen often because I'm always doing something and I'm always thinking of something. If I did, yes. Like, okay. I'll be talking to somebody, like a friend of mine just lost their father. Every time I talk to her, the guy's there. I see him there. I hear him there. I feel him there. So it's like that when I'm more in that space. When I'm in that space, they're there. They're just waiting for me to finish whatever I'm doing in life.
I'm not meaning this in a rude way, but I'm trying to imagine this. I can see some old guys sitting there trying to get your attention and being like, this bitch over here, she's ignoring me.
Kind of lies down.
Some of them are very loud. Some of them are respectful. So like when I work events and things like that, because I do a lot of psychic fairs and metaphysical fairs. And this year I'm going more into the paranormal space and doing a lot of paracons. There will be persistent spirits that will say their names to me 3 or 4 people in advance of the person that they are meant for.
Wow.
And then there's some of them that are more respectful, that are like, I'm not going to step forward until this person sits down and let's see if they want to hear from me. Because again, it's also being mindful and respectful of that person's grief and the place that they're in their life. They can't even handle that.
Danielle, with your unique abilities, I have to ask, do you think there are individuals who exploit their gifts, knowing well that people would pay a substantial amount to connect with a loved one? What's your perspective on this?
I do think that, of course, like any other job, I do think that there are people out there that are purely frauds. However, at least in the spaces that I've found myself, in the spaces that I've worked with, the people I've worked alongside, I don't see a lot of that. I think that's more like seeing like the palm readers on the street in Manhattan. Hey, come sit and get a reading. And you're getting the same reading as the person 5 minutes before you. I do think that there's definitely an element of showcasing and performativeness when it comes to this for like parties where people like will hire a tarot reader, but the person only reads the tarot, but they read the tarot verbatim. Like they're not intuitively reading the tarot or psychically reading the tarot. There's different degrees. There's also people who I think like this ability kind of flexes itself different for other people. So I do think that there's going to be levels. Like some people are going to sing like Britney and some people are going to sing like Whitney. And it's going to go that way for this kind of ability too. And there's going to be levels to the capabilities of each and every person who even does this work anyway.
Right. Understandable. How do you balance your work as a psychic medium with your personal life?
It's going to sound really weird, but it's incorporated in my life in a lot of ways because a lot of my friends are very interested in this. A lot of my family is interested in this. So it's just like part of the fabric of my life. At this point, do I turn it off? I won't say I do anything ritualistic. I probably should. I probably should start being like, okay, guys, we're off for the night. But I don't. It's almost like mentally, okay, I'm packing up my stuff. The reading's over. And I just continue life as normal. But there are people who do opening and closing type of more, I don't want to say ceremonial, but maybe something small, maybe light a candle.
Like a sage?
Blow it out or... Yeah, something like that. I'll spray aura sprays and stuff like that. I probably could do more. I'm not super organized in that regard, but I think there's merit to it because I do think in some cases that has not happened to me, thank God. I have heard of people having spirits follow them home, attach themselves, and like they bother you. And that hasn't really happened to me, thank God. But it does happen.
I just had this image of Danielle putting one of those time clock things in her bedroom, and then she punches out and she's like, okay, guys, see you tomorrow. Don't eat my lunch in the fridge. Okay, so you know a lot about astrology. I want to learn more about it and what it means, but tell us how you use astrology with paranormal and spiritualism.
Sure, absolutely. So anyone who has very strong water element in their chart, so that would be Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, or 12th, 8th, or 4th house placements in their astrological chart, they innately come in with some ability.
Just because you mentioned the sign Cancer, I'm letting you know I am a Cancer.
Yeah.
Like freaked out. I also have a friend who's a Cancer, and she's the one who I bring with me to paranormal locations to see if I can get shit to happen. She hates it. Because every time we go somewhere that's haunted and I bring her with me, wild stuff starts happening. She's my lucky charm in that regard. So like, the fact that both Farah and my other friend who are Cancers experience that, and you bring it up now, like that's just... really cute.
People who typically have water in their charts heavily, it's going to be an interest, and it's definitely going to be an innate ability. I would even say Aquarius can teeter on that line too, because they're an air sign, but they have some of that. I don't want to say like weirdness, but they do. They have those elements too, where they can have gifted abilities also.
And how to nurture that?
So I would say to nurture that, it's so different for so many people. And it works different for so many people. I would say the biggest thing for most people who do want to get into this is to create space. Space in your mind, space in your life, whether that's meditation, whether that's just sitting quietly in a room for 30 minutes, whether that's working out or listening to music or doing something that's allowing your mind to quiet. When it comes to astrology, the only time I'll really incorporate it into, let's say, a psychic slash intuitive type of reading, looking into the past, present, future for somebody, is when I feel that energy. Like I'll say, I'm getting an Aries feel here. Is this person an Aries? Or I'm getting that Virgo sense, super clean, super organized, super perfectionistic. So that's when I'll incorporate and bring it in. But for the most part, I keep it separate because astrology is so expansive and it really is just the blueprint of you. And I could talk about that for 4 hours per person. It's so bottomless and you can learn forever because it's been going on for thousands of years and it moves. So the birth chart's one piece, the transits are another, the synastry is another. There's just so much expansiveness with astrology. It's like bottomless.
If you were to direct someone where to start to learn astrology, where would you advise them to go? Or how do you advise them to start that path?
The birth chart, definitely. That's your karmic blueprint. That's your what you come in, the karma you're carrying from the last life, the direction your life is going to go in here, the challenges you may have, the types of energies you may attract or the patterns that you may attract, and how you can work best with them. Once you have that awareness and knowledge is like true power.
I agree 100% on that statement. How do you help people who are struggling with grief when they come in for a reading?
I would say when it comes to the people who are seriously grieving, I think it's a matter of there will be somebody who will be willing to talk to you. I've never done a reading and spirit has not shown up, but who controlling shows up and how talkative each spirit is, that part I don't have control over. Because if your father was, let's say, reserved in life, he's not going to be doing cartwheels for me over there now. And I think people have a hard time and struggle with, well, how come my nonverbal grandma isn't giving you like a novel to say to me, or isn't like totally expressive and like bouncing off the walls wanting to communicate with you? And I'm like, well, she was a devout Catholic and that was the life that she led and she was very reserved. She's not exactly going to be bouncing off the walls wanting to talk to me. Just like people, you can't control them.
You're the medium between. That literally is why it's called that.
Yeah, I can invite them to come and speak to me, but I can't control what they're going to say, how little or how much.
That's a good way of putting it.
Okay, so to follow up on that question, if you were going to tell everyone what to expect when you go see a medium, what would you say?
I would say definitely go in with an open mind. Be ready and willing to hear from whoever is willing to come through for you. And if you really, truly have somebody in your heart that you would like to connect with, feel free to tell that reader, hey, would you mind trying to connect with my so-and-so? Because that's what I do in readings. I'll pull through whoever's coming to talk first and whoever's the loudest. And if someone's really looking to hear from somebody else, I'll ask that person to step through. And they might just be there, but they're just not as loud as, say, the others or as rambunctious as the others or extroverted.
I feel a little shyer than the other person in the room.
Exactly. So if you're feeling like you really want to hear from somebody specific, feel free to ask for that and then see where that goes.
So providing them some information or validating their questions isn't taken away from their ability. It's what they need to have a direction on where to go for your reading.
You do need to have validation because I do think also spirit feels, because there's been occasions I've definitely had people who are challenging where it's just like you're giving them all this insight and information as spirit is like, what the hell else do they want from you? I mean, at the love of God. So I think there has to be a level of yes, that makes sense, or no, that doesn't make sense, or let me get back to you on that. They want to know that you're validating it, because if you're not, they're like, what the hell are we wasting our energy for? We're lowering our vibration to talk to you. It's like, I think they're really wanting to get that, oh my God, yes, we have a lead. We have a live one. So the more you're able to communicate and validate, you don't have to give information, but just say, hey, yeah, that makes sense. Or no, that doesn't make sense. Or I'll have to ask my Aunt Fanny about that. I'll get back to you. Stuff like that. Like that way, at least the spirit knows that you're at least working with them too.
and you're engaged in the conversation. I think a lot of times people go into these readings and they're like, I'm not going to give them any information because I want them to prove to me that they do have these abilities. And to me, that's counterproductive of the purpose of going to begin with. I don't know if you experienced that in your work, but I'm sure you do.
I just believe that no one should ever feel taken advantage of, especially in matters as sensitive as the loss of a loved one. I think, though, it is vital to provide some guidance, but also to seek answers. Danielle's ability to connect with the other side relies on receiving even the smallest acknowledgement.
So you know what will happen is if that you're not going to validate the spirit in front of me, someone else is going to step in front of them and be like, okay, guess that they're not getting this one. So-and-so's going to come up the line. So they'll just keep going and cycling through people. And I think what ends up happening too is that you, not proverbially you, but people are going to get from readings the energy that they bring to it. So if you're open, you're going to receive. But if you have walls up, they're also going to be more reserved with what they tell you as well. Because maybe there is some unconscious information that you don't want to hear. There are certain things too, like they're very smart and they're very on their feet where they're like, yeah, this person's extremely unstable right now. We don't even think you should do the reading. Like they'll stay and hang back. So I think it really depends on the sitter too and the energy and the wellness. And I've turned people away. I've said to people like, look, I want to help you, but I think this is out of my scope. And just from a liability perspective, I'm not a doctor because people love to ask health questions. I'll give them little insights and hits I get, but I'm not going to give you a diagnostic report. I don't feel like I'm in the right to do that.
Is that one of the biggest questions that you do get?
I would say the biggest question I get is like relationships, money, career. Health is probably like 3 or 4 on the list. And I will look into people's bodies. Like I can do medical mediumship. I'm reserved with who I share that information with because you can't take everything I'm saying to the bank and cash it because I'm not a doctor. So I could be describing what I'm seeing something, but I also don't have a diagnostic report in front of me to tell you exactly what that means or what that means for you.
Before a person starts a reading with you, Danielle, is there anything that you go over with them or do they have to sign anything before they start?
I does say on my website, and this is just by the state of New Jersey, and I think this is most states, this reading is for entertainment purposes only. I have to list that on my website. And before you book a reading, it'll say you are 100% for your actions following this reading. So by purchasing, you're agreeing to that.
That's a great way of protecting yourself. I think I did see that, but a general question, what's your favorite way to connect to the universe?
I love the beach. I connect to the ocean. I connect to the water element. I think that's because my chart is mostly in water, but I love being by the ocean, on the beach. That feels very natural to me, and I feel like that's really what grounds me.
Oh my God, Danielle, you've just sparked an interesting realization in me. I've always wondered why I felt a strong urge to move to Florida when I was younger. Eventually, I did. I've always been drawn to the beach and the ocean. The waters always grounded me and it brought me a sense of peace and happiness. But you just mentioning this made me understand that Cancer does relate to water, and a light bulb went off and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's why I love what I love.
And Danielle, do you mind, just to make sure I'm understanding, and maybe for Farah too, it's not just going to be your big three. If you have a lot of water in all of your houses or in several of them, then you're going to be even more attuned to these sort of abilities.
Oh yeah. You can have, really, there's the big six, which is like your sun, your moon, your rising, your Mercury, Venus, and Mars. The six of those are the big six that are going to tell you exactly what is personally going to affect you the most in your life and what your personality and experience is like for the most part. And then from there, it goes out to Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and it just goes on and on. And then the aspects and the interplays between the planets, that too is going to tell you more of the story. So you have these gifts, which are the planets and the certain signs and the certain houses. But then the interplays between those planets, let's say like Venus square Mars or whatever, that's going to tell you the story of what happens with those planetary interplays.
That's so cool. I need to look more at what my chart is. I know I have a lot of Sagittarius and Gemini, which I feel like are very opposing forces to have as being major in your chart and everything. But I need to go back and look more about the rest of them.
And no pressure, just off the top of your head, Danielle, what are some good resources for anyone to start digging into astrology and your birth chart, etc.?
I would say, and this is just something that I did over time over the course of 5.5 years, I studied my own chart and I looked up multiple different YouTubes, multiple different TikToks, multiple different articles about one particular planetary placement in a sign. And then I would offshoot to the house. And then I would offshoot to the planetary placement. And it would just be like the interplay. So it came gradually over time and it explained.
But start with your sign.
With your birth chart. If you could really start to get into studying your birth chart, if you can really like narrow that down, you can really start to study really anybody's chart then. Because you'll understand exactly each, this means this, or moon in Capricorn means that. And then you'll meet people that you'll notice with similar tropes with these certain placements.
If you wouldn't mind, would you share a little bit about what you learned from your birth chart?
Sure. So I have Pisces in 5 of my personal planets. I have a Scorpio moon. I have a Mars in Sagittarius. My chart is primarily water, 80% water with 20% fire. I have no earth and no air element in my chart. I probably have it into the outer asteroids, but in my personal planets and just the major planetary placements, I don't have any of it. So for me, I actually have to be around people who have a lot of earth and air in their chart to balance me out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm
all earth.
I'm just making this on a live production here today that I will. Within 2 years, I'm going to be able to talk just like her because that sounds absolutely fascinating. And I want to know every single word she just said because I have no idea. But I know what planets and everything.
You'll get there. There is so much. There's such a wealth of information. And it's been studied for thousands of years. So studying all different variations and articles, even dating back to the 70s and 80s, there's books, it's just endless and bottomless. It's interesting to hear each variation and take on. Once you start to see more about your own chart, you'll see what energies blend really well with you and which ones maybe not as much. Everybody brings something to the table, but you'll probably be drawn to people that are more along your lines with like friendship. But like for marriage or dating, you'll probably be drawn to the opposite element.
Opposites attract, but I've never considered that before.
What's the biggest takeaway that you can get from knowing astrology and your sign?
I think it makes you feel understood. I think I have a Scorpio moon, and that's probably the most intense emotional placement you can have in all of astrology. And it's probably the one that also makes me have these abilities, but it's also the most intense, feeling emotions on a level that probably most people aren't able to touch down to. And I always felt very alone in that, where it was like, why am I feeling everything to the 25th power and everybody else is just like business as usual? When I started to look into astrology, I was like, oh my God, I feel so. And it really allowed me to accept myself and see that I'm not like this terminally unique person. And I felt like a part of rather than apart from.
That just made me feel so good.
Yeah. Fair, we should make a pact to study our charts together and hopefully maybe one day we can be to the same level as you, Danielle.
You can. Totally can.
Courtney, I think this is something that you and I need to make a pact and start getting into ourselves, learning astrology. I think that would be great to do alongside with you.
I love this idea.
I would love to do that.
I think that this would be a great little kind of side project for Fair and I to do behind the scenes. I think that would be awesome if we can make that happen. But Dang, I feel like I had another question in regards to the actual finding stuff out about your chart and stuff like that. I know we talked about how to find the resources of it, but if I wanted to find books specifically, because obviously there are a ton of different websites about it, and I feel like when I am researching this, there is a lot of conflicting information on the internet. Do you have any book recommendations that we can maybe start the string with?
I would have to say, because I haven't been able to read or listen to a book probably since the birth of my daughter almost 5 years ago. But I will say this. There is a book that I don't remember the exact name of, but it is actually sitting on my dining room table. And I do remember looking up my sun sign and my moon sign in it. And I do remember gaining something from that. And that's like where it just took off from there. And then it just developed over time. Right. Like I said, it's more. And then you just start to notice common threads in people. And then you're just like, oh, that's not a them trait. That's a Libra trait. Or there's just certain things that it really is. Once you start to learn about the signs, you'll learn about the people who embody them as you go, because they become three-dimensional as opposed to just, oh, this is what they say a Taurus is supposed to be like. It's, oh, no, this person's living the Taurus. But then you'll start to notice that in another person. And then you'll meet people and you'll be like, they're definitely a whatever, whatever. And then you find out like, oh, that's in their big threes.
Well, if you do come across to anything, Danielle, that you think could help us on our journey to discovery, just send me a DM or email. We can also let our listeners know. And Courtney, remember, I have Audible. So what I'm going to do is look up some books on astrology, and then I'll buy the book because we're doing this together. Danielle, what do you think the biggest message is that you want to convey to your clients?
There is without a doubt life after death. There isn't actually anything to be scared of after we die. We're not going to get punished or anything for the lives that we live, believe it or not. I'm not trying to encourage crime, but I'm just saying I think a lot of people are scared. I'm scared. They think people are scared about death. Yeah. And we're all here just meant to learn different lessons. And we do have a lot of free will. There are some fixed fate situations that I do believe are, say, written in our book, so to speak. But it's also how we navigate the fixed fate lessons that really is up to us. I think our responses are up to us. And going into a reading, I think it's just, oh, wow, the train is behind me, if you can hear it. The train is behind me 5 blocks away. But it sounds like it's right in my yard. I would have to say, probably, if you are going to go in for a reading, to really and truly just go in with an open mind and try to remain completely and totally unbiased as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And if you remain open, you will definitely receive messages.
And would you mind elaborating a little bit on your thoughts on life after death? I think a lot of us that's in the paranormal field, we're all reaching to find out what's after life. Have you ever asked spirits, what do they see? What have they felt? Where are they? What time frame? Anything? What have you gathered in it since you've been a psychic medium?
So what I've gathered is, and from what I've seen, is it is dimensionally parallel to where we are. So this is a really trippy thing that I guess we probably could have a whole other podcast about. But I think that dimensionally, like, the energy transforms itself. And I believe these energies are able to go between dimensions. Like, they're able to go to, let's say, like, higher, more divine realms. And then they're also able to float back down to the earthly realm whenever they feel or see fit. And I think it's one of those things where you just become like a truly a free spirit.
And how do you think we end up in that next life? Or at least what's your thoughts and opinion on it?
I think it varies per spirit. So the way that I've experienced them is they're either going to be in their own dimensional time frame because all times are existing all at the same time as us. And sometimes we can tap into that matrix and see that ripple. And I've experienced it that way, where I've peered into their time frame and they're just acting business as usual back in whatever time they're in. Or there are, I don't want to call them entities, but there are spirits that can be bound to a location and then can be bound to Earth because A, they don't know that they've passed. They're very tied to the location. They had extreme grief there. They lost a child there. Usually where there's a series of extreme traumatic events, that's probably where you're going to have the most imprints and you're going to have spirits that, as I guess they would call them, earthbound, quote unquote, spirits.
Sounds like my house.
People who have, and this is just from what I've witnessed because I've seen and heard and experienced it all, but I do believe where there has been trauma, you are at least going to find at least one or two spirits that they might be very tied to wherever that location is. There are so many variations. Remains will 9 out of 10 times mean a haunting. So if there are remains in that home or if somebody passed in that home, there will be an imprint more than likely. If their remains are there, they're probably half there and half in the ether. So they can probably switch between realms or dimensions, if you will. When it comes to trauma, I really think about the state that person was in. If this was somebody who was maybe very heavily into substances or really was going living a what we'll call, quote unquote, not to sound judgmental, but maybe a lower vibrational lifestyle, like where they were involved in gangs and crazy stuff. Yes, maybe they will be more tied to the earth because they feel that they're maybe tied to whatever business that they weren't able to finish. Let's say a child gets into a car accident or something like that. I would say that's probably, I don't know the percentages, but if that child was a happy, healthy child, they're more than likely just going to elevate and cross over. You could call them in to come speak to them about what happened there, but will they haunt the location? I would say with that, probably more than likely not. That's just my personal opinion.
Circle back really quickly, just because through my own research and just from speaking to other people who maybe not do this to the same degree that you do, but for lack of better phrasing, call themselves mediums or say that they're sensitive to the paranormal. I've always heard that graveyards and cemeteries specifically aren't as haunted as the home that said person lives in. But you say that there's where there's remains, there are spirits. Then in that case, would you say that graveyards are going to be more haunted than any other place? Or is that more of just in the event that there's remains somewhere other than that place? Just to clarify my understanding.
I would say if you're building on the remains or building very closely around the remains.
Disturbing them?
In some ways, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because if that's the place where you go to, say, rest, then in my mind, like I said, from my research prior to this point, it seems like graveyards would be a place that people say are not very haunted. But then again, if they're being churned up or disturbed, then of course, that's literally going to wake the dead. So that makes total sense. I just wanted to make sure my research is correct.
I haven't slept in a cemetery overnight, so I couldn't confirm or deny. But I truly feel like the places where people's remains have been disturbed, have built around really close proximity, or in some cases, they didn't really start enforcing not burying upon the dead until like probably the early 1910s in this country.
Oh.
Really and truly. So there's probably remains everywhere. I think it's just more so when it comes in like volume, where it's, you know, there's literally like it was a full blown cemetery or a family or a graveyard that was passed. And then a whole house was built on top of that. That's, you know.
Then, yeah, of course, that's going to be, we'll say some bad karma.
It's definitely going to give you some information about who was there because they're going to let you know.
For sure.
All right. So I have one more question for you. And then Courtney will follow with hers. To wrap up, we'll end with a few lighthearted questions to learn a little bit about you in a fun way. But for my final question, imagine you're investigating a building and you detect someone's presence. And then a REM pod starts going off, indicating that they're there as you have sensed. Have you ever had such a validation during an investigation?
You mean, has anybody ever came back and validated something that I said with factual information?
Well, have you ever been ghost hunting? Like, have you been on a paranormal investigation?
I haven't done it in the professional. Actually, that's not true. I did do a paranormal investigation in Salem with a group. Yes, I did have, I wouldn't say we were there overnight. It was more of an amateurish state where I typically just go to haunted locations by myself with some friends. And I just see who's there. And then I look up the history afterwards to see if it's true or not. But when it comes to going to like haunted locations and buildings and staying there with the equipment and stuff like that, I've only done that twice. And I have had confirmations through the locations that have run the investigation before.
Ooh, okay. That's awesome. Well, I guess I have 1.5 questions, but those pictures that I sent you before we met for recording, and just to let you listeners in, I had sent Danielle pictures of my hallway and each of our offices here at my home. But Danielle, is there any insight that you can give me on anything that may be here or since you've been talking with me?
The first name that I hear is Robert, so I'm going to give you that. That name comes through very clearly. The other thing I got, too, is that when I saw the pictures of your home, I saw someone who was a farmer. And if I have to go back in time, I'm getting the early 1800s. So I would probably even specifically have to say like 1809. And there's something about the September time frame of that year. So that kind of I picked up when I was looking in your area, especially in the hallways for some reason. And I feel like this was a gentleman. And
sorry.
I think that he, too, probably did this for till he was in much older age. He might have even had a child pass. I mean, it wasn't uncommon during those days, but like a young child, like maybe even like a baby or a toddler. But I do feel him very strongly in that area. Also, too, and I have to say this, and I don't think this is tied to him. I also heard the name Heather as you're talking to me right now, too. So I don't know if this is somebody who's living or past, but that name just pops in, too, as I'm talking to you guys.
My Spirit Talker app frequently does mention Robert. He says he's from the 1800s. I've actually been pondering whether Robert was already here when we moved here in September or if he followed me from where I used to live about 2 hours from here when we first moved to Tennessee on haunted land in the haunted house with the haunted cave that was feet from my back door. But Robert has surfaced several times there too.
Wow.
You and I have gotten the name Robert together whilst
doing.
Wow.
Yeah. When you were saying like farmer and Robert, my mind went to the cabin. But when you said the hallway, so I'm sorry, I screamed, oh my God, because that area of Farrah's current home is incredibly active. You guys may have talked about that, but that just really blew my freaking mind, if you couldn't tell.
I was blown away too. You know that weird vibe in the hallway I kept mentioning? It's got this eerie knack for not really sticking to the rooms, but it loves hanging around Jake's office sometimes. But when I'm chilling here, it's like there's a party happening in his office. There's stuff moving. There was a bang that happened that almost gave me a heart attack. I mean, Jake's been seeing things in my office out of the corner of his eye. It's really spooky. You had mentioned your own bed bumping story, Danielle, earlier, and that's happened to me too, not just once, but twice. But yeah, really crazy stuff here. So thank you for giving me a little bit of insight.
That hallway, I don't know if you've had like lights flickering or anything like that, or if the lights have went on and off, or if you notice anything about that. It feels like there is like a little bit of a mischievous energy there. That automatically, like when I look in the hallway, I feel like definitely you're going to get some light activity. If you haven't already, you'll probably start to see things going on and off.
I have
a huge blackout, but it could be like just a little bit of a dimming. Not, they could play with that stuff really easily.
Well, one night I had turned off the bathroom light, went to bed, and then I had come back in to get some leave, and the light was mysteriously on again. Jake was asleep, so, I mean, it wasn't him. I just ignored it, of course, and went back to bed, but that was weird.
Yeah, definitely. That's a, I would say there's definitely like a little bit of a mischievous energy there.
Yeah, not to put you on the spot because you haven't even seen any part of my house. And this is our first, I know we follow each other on social media, but kind of interaction. Do you mind me asking the same question by chance? Just do you feel anything here by talking to me?
You know, in your house, what's interesting is that there, I feel like there is an older woman present, but I feel like she might be connected to you somehow.
Interesting. This house specifically has been connected to an unsolved murder in my town. She was younger when it happened, but I do have relatives who've obviously passed away. So that's interesting. I wonder if maybe the activity is not who I'm attributing it to.
I feel like do you have a grandmother that passed away?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like her presence is definitely around you. And that feels like somebody who's connected to you. In terms of anything like dark or sinister in your home, I don't get that from talking to you. So whoever may have passed or whatever may have happened there, I feel like, I don't know if they renovated the house or if they did something different to it, but I do feel that there was almost like a cleansing of that energy, because I do feel that.
Oh, wow.
There has been some energy that has moved out around.
Interesting. I had suspicions about the space in terms of like, it's like weird stuff that has happened specifically last year. And that's just from my own, honestly, me being in not a very responsible investigator. We thought that I had an attack.
I love that.
It's gone. I'm really hoping it's gone and that maybe it's just hanging out. I miss her every day. So that would be really cool if it's just her.
I really strongly feel your grandmother very much tied to you. And I do feel that she does spend a lot of time around you. That is probably the one person that I feel, if you want to say, is in your presence in your home. 9 out of 10 of the times, I feel her energy stronger than anybody else's.
That's amazing. I've moved so many times since she's passed. I'm assuming if it's like me and that's who she feels drawn to, because she had a lot of like weird experiences just in her latter years. So I'm just wondering, is it possible that she's following or attached herself maybe to me versus place?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's definitely tied to you. Like, I could even say, like, some of our ancestors or people who have passed away that we were close to, sometimes they become like a guide. Like, I feel like she's sitting next to you and like conducting this interview with you.
That's intense. Wow. Danielle, thank you so much for sharing that. That gives me a lot of, I don't want to say confidence, but just comfort about her passing and stuff like that. Yeah, I just appreciate it. Thank you for that.
You're so welcome. You are so welcome. She's also referencing a ring, too. So do you have something of hers, or somebody has something of hers? It feels like this is like a significant ring.
Is she she could be talking about my engagement ring. She really loved my husband, but she wasn't, unfortunately, here when we got married. We were just dating when we had been together for several years at that point. But the only other thing that I can think of is my mom has her husband's ruby ring.
I was just going to say, is it a colored stone? Because this does not feel like a traditional clear cut diamond ring. So that's interesting that you should say that.
She has his ruby ring. I don't know if you can pull what significance that would be, because I can ask my mom about it. I think she'd get a kick out of this, but obviously no pressure.
No, she's referencing this ring, and I do feel that there's this colored stone to it. So she is mentioning this. She is mentioning something, too, that almost feels like it's a bracelet. I do feel like there are pieces of jewelry of hers that I guess she's referencing that some of you guys might have. She's just showing evidence that it is her.
Yeah.
To prove that, like, she is there with you. I also feel like there's something really funny about, it's so interesting. This is so weird, and I have to say it. Did she pass around the bathroom or something like that? Because she's showing me something having to do with the actual room of the bathroom.
Oh, my God. It's not my grandma. She and I were just as close. This is probably Peggy. She is my husband's grandmother. She and I were very close before she passed, and she had a colored engagement ring and wedding.
Oh, my God.
She told me and my husband, we were the only two people who knew this before she died, that she had pawned that set after her husband passed away.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
God.
I'm sorry. I'm so taken aback. That is so Peggy. And I think about her all the time.
Oh, Courtney, that's so sweet. I can't wait till you tell Todd about it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him after this, because they were one and the same. And we always said that her husband, when he passed, I think he was like, Todd was like maybe 7 or 8 when this happened, maybe a little older.
But they always say that Buddy, her husband, just went straight into Todd. They're the same person.
This is so awesome, Danielle. Thank you so much. I'm just going to throw it out there just because, but do you see any family members around me, even if it's not my dad?
Sorry, not to put you on the spot like this, girl, but this is just why.
No, totally cool. With you, I get the name John. I don't know who's connected to the John or who is the John, but there is the name John that comes in initially when I connect to you.
One of my grandfathers is named John, and it's also the middle name of my biological father.
Okay, so wow. It's definitely a grandfather energy without a doubt. He also mentions that he was in the paper. Was he in the military too at some point? Because he's showing me like a bunch. This guy's a little bit more talkative than everybody else.
I'm not 100% sure, but I did think that he was in it for a few years when he was young. Just a short time.
He might have been in the Navy or something like that. And I feel like he also, too, he had an obituary. His name was in the paper. He's mentioning I was in the newspaper. Yeah, he's hanging around, too. I feel him very.
He's so cool.
It's almost like he's got a very fascinated. He's also very fascinated by this topic, too. And I think he thinks it's really cool. And I feel like for you specifically, he's probably asking you questions about the paranormal, because I feel like he had an interest in this. He couldn't really show that or showcase that out in life. I also feel like he might have had an element of hunting or like duck hunting. I know this sounds
yes.
crazy.
Yes. Oh my Lord. No way. Oh my God. He would go on week-long trips to go duck hunting. But let me make this point. He wasn't like the professional type. He was doing it to get away from grandma. So.
Did he ever stuff them, or were they ever taxidermied or something like that? Because I also feel like there's an element of decorativeness too with maybe some of these.
I do remember going to their house in St. Pete, Florida. They had two living rooms. One was a living room, no TV, and then there was a den with the TV. And I remember there were ducks that were on top of the TV stand, but I don't know if they were his. So. I can't confirm that. This has just been a fascinating conversation with you, Danielle. And I know Courtney and I have learned so much about mediumship and more about you, which I love more than anything. But now we get down to the end of the episode where we ask some just fun general questions we want to know. But Danielle, I was going to ask you first if you had a superpower, what would it be and why? But, I mean, you kind of already have one. Oh, we'll do this one. If you're going to be a flavor of ice cream, what would it be and why? Why?
Oh, wow. Okay, mint chocolate chip, because I can't even answer that. I just love mint chocolate chip, and I like mint green, so maybe it's the color, too.
I love the color mint green, so I'm with you on that, but I don't like mint chocolate ice cream, and I don't know why, because I love chocolate. But anyway, that's a great choice.
Right there with you, Farrah. I don't know why I want to like it, but I just can't.
Okay, Courtney, what is your question for Danielle?
I have the list pulled up, and I'm trying to decide. Danielle, this is our list of just like fun questions for the end.
Sure.
If you could have a cryptid as a pet, which one would you choose and what would you name it?
Oh, I love that question.
Oh, I like that. Oh my gosh. You know what? That's so interesting. I live in New Jersey, so there's always this thing about the New Jersey devil and all that. And there's variations of what does this look like? And is this a person? And is it a bat? And whatever. But I have to say there was something called, I think it's like the Tasmanian tiger or something like that, where it opened its mouth to like almost like 180 degrees. And I saw it on the Unexplained with William Shatner, and I would have been such a cool pet.
Danielle, that is an awesome choice. No one talks about that Tasmanian devil. It's a form of, I don't know, jaguar, puma, cougar kind of thing. The last one, I think, was in like the early 1900s or something, but it's so sad that it went extinct.
Fascinating. I always thought it was fascinating when I saw it on the show. I was like, wow, that's a really cool.
And one more question from each of us. What is your favorite band or musician?
My favorite band is Pink Floyd. My favorite musician is David Bowie.
Hell yeah. Bowie is right here on my wall in my studio.
Yeah. exude magic. They really do. That very Aquarian energy. They're a very strange sound, but it goes together well. And David Bowie, every time he made a song, it was like also a new genre.
I love Bowie because you can listen to any of his songs and you felt like you were somewhere else. So definitely great choice, Danielle.
Of that sort of question, if you could listen to one song for the rest of your life, what would it be?
So I love 80s music, and I love that song, Your Love, from The Outfield. It's the first time I'm hearing it every time I hear it.
I will put that song at the end of this episode just for you because I love that song as well. Great choice again.
It's just so epic, and it came out the year that I was born. So I feel really good about that. 80s.
All right, Sinister Seekers, well, we are going to wrap up this episode. Thank you again so much, Danielle, for gracing us with your presence and giving us a little bit of your time. Please go ahead and let all of our listeners know where you can be found, all of your handles, etc.
Yeah, sure. Website is readingsbydanielleT.com, and my Instagram is at psychicmediumDanielleTaberg. And I'm more than happy to connect with just anybody who wants a reading or just wants to even chit-chat or just connect on social. This was really cool. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of it.
Of course, and we hope to have you back soon. And on it, for real, thank you so much for doing that mini reading. I wasn't expecting it, but I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much, Danielle.
We hope that you enjoyed the eerie tale that we spun for you today. Remember, we drop episodes on the 1st, the 10th, and the 20th of every month. So don't miss out on your regular dose of macabre content and hit that follow button if you haven't already. We're haunting all the streaming platforms so you can catch us wherever you prefer. Connect with us on the dark corners of social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and TikTok. We're lurking around every corner. For those of you who crave more details, check out studiosessions.blog. It's an extension of our show, which features detailed show notes, links, audio and visual aids, and more. This year is all about sharing because sharing is caring. So help us reach new listeners by spreading the word. Share your favorite episode and let's build a community of Sinister Seekers. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for exclusive content and goodies.
Merch is out now. So visit our Instagram page or Linktree and pick you up some of the Undead collection.
But before we go, do us a solid, leave us a rating or review because crafting these epic episodes takes so much work. Your love and feedback mean the world to Courtney and I. So until next time, Sinister Seekers, stay true.
Stay you.
Stay sinister.